The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 470, recorded on July 2nd, 2017. Welcome to the 470th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 303rd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falk.
I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Scott Durr.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, this episode is kind of light on news, but then again, it always is just after E3. And we still have our contest going on. So, tell us, what have you been playing, Scott?
A little bit of I Am Setsuna. It's a game that uses the mechanics of Chrono Trigger, but it starts out very dark and depressing, where this girl from a village is to be sacrificed to keep monsters in their area, I guess, from attacking the town. But it seems like there's a bit of a twist going on that something hasn't gone right or whatever. So it looks like it'll be interesting.
How about you, TJ?
I've been playing a Crash Insane Trilogy. I love
Crash
those
Bandicoot. Are you playing
Crash?
You're playing Crash Bandicoot.
Yes.
Okay.
I was on day one with the PlayStation. I remember it really being really happy with that game when I got it on Christmas.
And then I pointed it out to you on the E3. What's it called? Floor. Well, it wasn't on the E3 floor. It was in the E3 foyer.
But yeah, so I couldn't resist. I picked it up. I love it. It's hard as holy hell. And I was thinking, how did I get through this stuff when I was little? And then I remembered that I had nothing better to do because I was a kid.
Oh, please. I could go through Dragon's Lair on one life. Space Ace on one life too. An experiment.
Did you do it on the first try?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, not the very first time I ever played it, but.
Of course not.
I was able to do it. I was able to do Dragon's Lair on one life afterward, and Space Ace on Space Ace level, going with either an all Dexter run or an all Ace run. Now, when I've played it on the Xbox Live Arcade, when I bought it for $3, it's like, oh god, you know, QuickTime event games are so much easier back then.
And even if you died, you got a fun little scene to go with it.
It's kind of boring when you have it over and over again, though.
Yeah, and I used to get frustrated with those platformer games dying over and over again, so I tended to lean towards RPGs. They were a little bit less frustrating.
But you still died over and over and over again in an RPG.
That brings up a funny point. Me and my wife were playing Crash Bandicoot and, like, switching off and back and forth between lives, and she was like, I wonder why I stopped. When we first started, she was like, I wonder why I stopped playing this game, or I wonder what happened to it. And then as we were playing, she got to a point, she's like, I don't want to play this right now. Here, you take the controller for the next few lives. And then she was like, I just had a revelation. I know why I don't have this game anymore. I threw it in the trash.
You know, the same thing with me and Pokemon. You know, it's sort of like, oh, I'll give it another try. Oh, wait. It's the same Pokemon over and over again.
I've had that similar experience with a couple of platformer games like the original Bionic Commando. Just made me so furious I stopped playing it entirely.
Yeah, that's why I didn't play much of Bionic Commando Remastered.
I feel good about myself on that note. I actually beat... you have Space Ace, I have Bionic Commando. I beat that game when I was like 4 years old.
Well, that was your job. Well, you know, you didn't have any work. That was your job.
I know. That's what I was saying. I had nothing better to do. And I beat it like probably the third time I played it. And you blow up Hitler's face with a rocket launcher, and it's like one of the most graphically violent things I had ever seen on a Nintendo at the time. And it actually like scared me a bit because I was so young. But I think later it's like, wow, that's light now.
Let me ask you a question. Have you been fooling around with the Red Hood on Injustice 2?
I have. I don't like him that much. He's a little bit too much of a trick and trap player for me. I'm more into an upfront style, but I think he's, I've played against people that can do amazing things with him. And I think he's an interesting character. He brings his own dynamic to the game, and Netherrealm Studios knows what they're doing with character design. Red Hood fills a niche that I thought that they had covered, but he does it in a different way than certain other characters do.
You know, I still like it when Jay Garrick beats the crap out of him. And one of the intros between Red Hood and Jay Garrick is Red Hood will go, "I've never seen a bigger pair of goody two-shoes, Garrick." And Jay Garrick says, "You're about to get one in your posterior, son."
Yeah, the dialogue with him and all the other characters is really fun.
Of course, anybody who has a Red Hood has to have him fight against the Joker because, you know, reasons. Also, when Robin tells him he should be dead, and when you have Red Hood in a mirror match tell him he should be dead, he quips back, been dead, done that.
Yeah. I really enjoy his dialogue with Damian Wayne.
Yeah. Now, I have all the premium skins, by the way. I have Vixen, I have Power Girl, I have Mr. Freeze, and I have Jay Garrick, and there's one more. Oh, I have Jon Stewart. Darkseid isn't a skin. He's an actual character. But I like having them pit against each other, you know? Like, if you have two Jay Garricks fight, they start commenting that this is, what's it called? We're both in the future. I hate time travel. But I just like Jay Garrick the best because he's so much the cape. He's, of all the characters in the game, he's the most heroic. Coming second is Vixen. And if you want some fun, have Vixen fight Jon Stewart. Because as anybody knows, in Justice League, they were dating. And one of their interactions is that she'll say, "You haven't been called, you haven't called me, John." And he says, "I meant to." And she says, "I'm not the type who's going to wait by the phone," you know. Go ahead.
I think my favorite bit of dialogue in the entire Injustice 2 games comes out of the story. And I know it's not a strong story, but there is a bit where Black Canary fights Gorilla Grodd. And the one thing she
says, she says, "Kneel before Grodd? That doesn't sound right."
Yeah, nice little Superman 2 thing.
Oh, well, before that, she says, what's it called about Bane? She says, "We're going to have to snip his tubes." And Green Arrow goes, "Ouch! His venom tubes." I just like how everybody hates the Joker when you do fights with him. Everybody. From Darkseid to Brainiac, you know.
But I mean, his whole style is trolling. His whole style.
Yeah.
Everything about it.
But I like, I finally reached level 20 with Black Canary. She's the only character I've reached 20 with. So, I'm probably going to do Power Girl. I mean, yes, it's Supergirl, but I'd rather do it with Power Girl because I like her dialogue better than Supergirl's.
Yeah.
Anyways, what I've been playing is I've gotten back into XCOM 2. I'm doing the Long War. Just because. And I'd forgotten that I bought the ultimate super powerful edition of XCOM 2 because all the DLC was waiting for me. I already prepaid for that, which I should have for $100, basically.
Are you getting ready for the DLC that's coming?
Oh yeah, that's why I started playing again.
Yeah.
I've also started playing FTL again, and it's very easy to get right back into that. It's a great little roguelike. I'm thinking about getting back into Diablo 3, which I haven't played for 4 years. Not only because there's DLC that's come out, which is, by the way, is a little bit overpriced. The Necromancer DLC is $15. But I heard that they made a lot of changes since I last played. So maybe I should get back into it.
Mm-hmm. FTL strikes me as a game that would just be easy to get back into regardless of what time you play, because it occupies an interesting zone where it's not just like Most roguelikes are like, this dungeon is now different, challenge new monsters, wherever. But that one is more like, choose your own adventure, but the adventure is always different.
No, it's Star Trek. It's a Star Trek roguelike. Yeah. You know, I'm on the Borg ship, a.k.a. the Engi ship. I haven't gotten any more powerful ships than that, so I'm still trying to, you know, I want to get a more powerful ship so at least I can stand a fight against the rebel dreadnought at the end. By the way, a lot of people have remarked it's kind of refreshing that you're playing the Federation and the rebels are the bad guys this time, because every time you play something like this, it's always the rebels are the good guys and the status quo is the bad guys. No, in this, the rebels are the bad guys.
Yeah.
I do like that change up.
At some point, I have to buy Tyranny. Like I said, I think there's new DLC coming for it, right, Scott?
Yes, it's already out. It looks like on the store page, you can get the Tales from the Tears for like $7.
You know, I'll wait until there's a bundle with all the DLC.
Yeah.
So we're still doing the contest. One person is signed up. It's going to go for 2 weeks. So, if no one else answers, he's probably going to get it without any competition. And you don't want that, do you? Anyways, we're going to move on to the first game news. StarCraft Remastered is coming to August in 4K, and this comes to us from US Gamer. On July 2nd, Blizzard announced their release date and a price for the HD version of the classic game. StarCraft Remastered will launch on August 14th for PC and Mac for $15, which can be pre-ordered on Blizzard's site. The refreshed game is remastered in every sense of the word. The edition includes the original game as well as its Brood War expansion. StarCraft will be playable in, quote-unquote, 4K ultra-high definition, along with enhanced audio. The remastered edition will feature new matchmaking, leaderboards, cloud saves, and player profiles to track a player's own individual statistics. Players will be able to toggle between the improved 4K graphics and the classic old-school look. For players who pre-order, they'll get 3, quote-unquote, exclusive building skins. In addition, they'll get some goodies for StarCraft II, including the co-op commander Alexei Stukov and 3 portraits to celebrate the original remastered release. In the meantime, players can still pick up the original, not remastered StarCraft completely free. So,
pretty good with that. The price for remaster seems pretty good, and you can get the original for free. So, pretty good deal.
I wonder how many of the... I think most of the professional players have moved on to StarCraft 2, but... I wonder how this will affect professional players. I mean, there has to be still a league for your first StarCraft.
I'm sure there is.
There is. It's still something that they do tournaments with. Most of the tournament spotlight is on StarCraft II, but there is still a section for StarCraft I.
So, I have StarCraft. I haven't played it much, and not because of the downgraded graphics. I just haven't had a chance, you know. And besides which, the last real-time strategy game I actually played, I think, was Warcraft 3. I can see, you know, like I said, I want to see the story of Kerrigan, what all the fuss is about her. I mean, I know the story, but I want to see the actual story. Because, you know, Kerrigan screwed herself, got screwed, and then she's screwing everybody else, and she still gets screwed anyway.
There are a lot of things that happen in StarCraft 2. I know the story, and I won't spoil it, even though it's an extremely old game. I mean, you know.
The original StarCraft, yeah, first came out in 2000, I think?
StarCraft 2 Wings of Liberty was
StarCraft, the original StarCraft came out in 2000.
I know. Yeah, that was around 2000.
1998, actually.
I guess I don't feel too bad because in part two she's chosen her path, we'll say. And I think she seems to know what she wants, so.
Well, she got screwed over so badly, you know. By the way, StarCraft II Wings of Liberty came out in 2010.
Which is like a billion years old in video game years, Jonah.
Yeah, that's when I first started. I think I first started writing for Game Watch, or it was Strategy Informer at the time in 2010. It's available for $5 on eBay.
Yeah. But there is a good story to StarCraft, especially in StarCraft 2. things, a lot of things happen, and a lot of them are interesting between all of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Legacy of the Void came out in 2015, just to give you an example of how long those things were supposed to come out, 1, 2, 3, in like a year and a half, you know, and it ended up extending for a long time to where the Legacy of the Void was sort of like a myth, you know. Maybe
yeah,
we'll get
they,
it at some point.
They had a lot to do with, that had a lot to do with not only just the story, but like the incredible amount of balancing that goes into building those, each side for tournament play. Cause it's always been.
They seem to be constantly balancing and rebalancing those units.
Yeah. And not only that, but like when you introduce new units into the game, you change the entire dynamic and everything has to be reworked as a result.
There's a song that goes, Blizzard, please nerf Void Rays, nerf Void Rays. You can YouTube it. It's on YouTube where a guy's begging Blizzard to please nerf the Void Rays.
So yeah, Blizzard lost me when they nerfed the priest class in World of Warcraft. So, anyways, like I said, I'll probably give it a chance. For a good RTS, I guess I could shell out $15.
Yeah, or you could just go on YouTube and just sit down and watch all the cutscenes like a movie for like probably an hour or so.
I did that once. I wanna actually play. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 loot boxes spark pay-to-win fears from Eurogamer. Earlier this week... Hold up. I'm hearing a little bit of feedback in somebody's...
That's odd. Try again.
Huh. Okay. Star Wars Battlefront 2 loot boxes spark pay-to-win fears. Earlier this week, Star Wars Battlefront 2 gameplay footage surfaced online that showed the sci-fi shooter's loot box system. Unlike its predecessor, Battlefront 2 has randomized crates of star cards that offer gameplay-affecting power-ups. These can give you more health, power-up weapons, boost damage, or grant other special abilities, such as a healing effect for nearby allies. Though the feature wasn't working when the revelations came to light, duplicate star cards will be automatically converted into crafting parts, which you can then put towards a particular card or to upgrading a card you already have. You can get the currency for buying crates by just playing the game, but the possibility of buying unlimited loot boxes using real-world cash sparked a concern among fans. EA has now confirmed to Eurogamer that yes, you can buy more of these crates using real-world money. It's not clear, however, how big of an advantage this will create. Certainly, there are different loot rarities, and you can pay for a box with a greater chance at better legendary or epic quality loot. It's not the first an EA game. Damn it! It's not the first EA game to offer a system like this for obtaining loot. Battlefield offers battle packs, for example, but battle pack contents are limited to cosmetic gun and vehicle skins. Plus unique melee weapon designs. The suggestion from Battlefront 2's Alpha is loot items actually affect how you and your team plays. Perhaps it's to be expected, but Battlefront 2 will offer a free season of DLC without the need to buy a season pass. Future maps, weapons, and characters will launch throughout the year. EA has to make up that money somewhere.
I'm not too concerned about this, really, because I've seen similar things and it doesn't affect gameplay that much. I mean, here's the thing, you know, if it's going to increase, say, your weapon damage by 2%, or 3%, or 4%, it's also a consumable item. It's not like a permanent power-up, you know? And here, if you're, you know, who's going to pay that much just to get 2 to 4% on something? You know, it's not like you're going to get a gun that kills people in one shot. That would be game-breaking, you know? But
yeah.
I've seen it in other games where it doesn't really break the game. You know, they had that fear in Payday 2, and it didn't really pan out that way. And the funny thing is that I think Payday 2 is one of the top five concurrent players right now on Steam.
The special abilities, such as the ability to heal nearby allies, is something that concerns me. And things like that, if they they have to be careful about how they balance that, because if you do have something that can be bought and it is something that can just change the dynamic or change the momentum of a game.
I'd agree with you if it were, say, Rainbow Six Siege. But this is Battlefield. You know how easy people get shot down in Battlefield? It's like you die every other second. So if you heal someone, they're just going to get shot like 5 seconds later. I mean, yes. I mean, a tactical game like Siege and, say, Counter-Strike, you know, those that would break the game completely, be able to heal somebody. But in Battlefield, no, it's not gonna affect the game one way or the other. Because, like I said, you die so much in that game, it's like, oh, you have a few seconds more of health before you get sniped again. Maybe I'm just bitter because Battlefield is one of those games in which you pop your head out and boom, you're dead, go back to respawn, and just hope they're not spawn camping.
Yeah, but it doesn't really help any of that when you give someone an advantage that other people don't necessarily have at the time. I don't know. Here's the thing.
But the other thing is that you earn those crates through normal game of play. What the game is doing is just letting you accelerate, you know? And I think that's one of the quotes they said. Well, it's just making it faster so you can get a crate now instead of later, you know? It's not like only people who pay for it aren't going to get these crates. You can do it through gameplay. And there was a lot of the fears of that with Halo, Halo 5's multiplayer, in which they said, oh, these rec cards are going to ruin everything because you can just buy rec cards, and you know, but never did it. Now, I have to put an asterisk on that because you cannot use those rec cards in competitive play. You can only use it in co-op play. Oh, wait.
See, that's what I think will probably happen, is they'll just prevent it from being in competitive gameplay, and co-op will be something else.
Oh no, I'm sorry. It was in competitive play for the big, you know, the big war game battles. But still, you know, yeah. I mean, play balancing is everything. You have to. Here's the thing. If you have to be, if you never want to feel like if you're not paying anything, that you're out of it, that you're useless. You know, if your weapons are powerful enough to just take out anybody through skill, then you're not gonna see much of an effect.
Right. And on the flip side, if you're talking about a card that can literally, like, for a second give you, I remember in the Battlefront that came out, like, I think last year, there was like a star card. Yeah, there was a star card for a particular kind of sniper rifle that was like a one shot, but it was also a one kill on anyone you shot at. And I think if you have it where you can buy cards and just stock up on that particular, a card like that,
These are crates. They're not actually buying that item, so you're gonna have to spend a lot of money just to get a one item that you're looking for. So that might be.
But that's what I'm getting at is that there are people out there that will buy up cards, that will buy up crates like that and get that advantage. They exist.
Yeah, but they're also consumable. So if they want to have their EP, and they'll find no one playing with them. That's all. I mean, here's the thing. You know, like I said. So long as you never feel like you're out of it, if you don't buy anything, if you feel like you can hold your own through sheer skill, then, you know, let them do whatever, because, you know, it's even more satisfying taking out someone who thought they could buy their way to a win and say, haha, guess what? I headshotted you and there's nothing you can do about it.
And on the flip side,
you know what would be even better is if you did that to someone who bought it and you could take their stuff that they paid for.
On the flip side, I will say that when you come up against someone that can tilt an entire match based off of something like that, it feels like crap, and it makes me not want to play games like that.
I agree.
I wonder if it has traps, you know? Like you can lay a trap for someone, and if they come in, they just get blowed up, no matter what they have, no matter what weaponry they have.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's all in the play balancing. You know, and here's the thing, if you're going to get all of your DLC for free, then it might be a small price to pay.
That's true enough.
You know, I mean, normally it would be a $50, I'm pretty sure $50 game pass for something like Battlefront 2. So, you know, if someone else wants to spend $100 while you spend nothing, well, you know, whatever. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, there are very few whales in this type of game, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see, because, like, I don't even know what's in those crates, or I don't know what kind of cards they're going to have in the game.
That's the entire point, though. We don't know, so we have to reserve judgment. So here's the thing. People are going to buy it no matter what, you know? And, oh, by the way, you know what you could do if you don't want to deal with something like that? Private games.
That's true.
You know? And I'm, you know, if you're a good enough player, you're going to be playing on competitive servers, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to allow it.
Well, I would hope not.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Only main player will progress in Far Cry 5 story. This is from Game Transfers. Far Cry 5 will have a cooperative mode. However, only one of you will benefit during the adventure. According to the German language site GameStar, Far Cry 5 will allow you to join a friend online, help eliminate enemies, help them win rewards, and advance their journey without actual progression for yourself. Far Cry 5 will also not have a local co-op mode, and will remove classic towers and minimap in an attempt to change gameplay, forcing players to interact with other characters and pay attention to the environment. Far Cry 5 will release on February 27th for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. I don't like the not having local co-op mode, because if you have a friend over, you want to play, but I guess you'll have to play over the internet. And I like that they take out the mini map. It helps your immersion. It keeps you from relying on stuff like a map and try to orient yourself with the environment and NPCs and,
also the classic towers, you know, I got tired of that with Arkham Knight. Yeah. Arkham Knight ruined the classic tower thing for me, and when you take over a tower, boom, you know, that's, no. And I like the idea of, you're going to be in Montana now, and it's sort of like having to explore this entire region. You know, does Breath of the Wild have a mini-map?
I don't think so.
It does.
It does? Okay.
Well, not a mini-map that I think stays in the right corner. You have to bring up a map.
I'm just saying, you know, a lot of people have said when playing Breath of the Wild that one of the best parts of it was you exploring on your own and looking at the distance saying, I want to go over there. And you're going over there, you know. Which was something that was neat in Mass Effect Andromeda. There were certain mountains I was convinced was part of the skybox, but nope, it wasn't part of the skybox. It was actually there.
Yeah. As for the cooperative mode in that game, that sucks. I mean, maybe I'm...
But you know what? Here's the thing. When I played Crackdown, I went with a friend, right? And he went through the entire game while I was trying to keep up, and he finished my game for me. And I didn't get to play an hour of it. It's like, wait, no, you finished the game for me in just 1 hour? Because it was just like, oh, gee, you killed the main boss, and I didn't get to play the game, you know?
So, I mean, in Dead Island, you go into someone's game, and you get to keep the weapons and experience that you get from that. But once you go back to your game, you're at the same spot that you left off. Meanwhile, in Dead Rising 2, you level up, but you don't advance your own story on when you're playing as someone else's partner.
But here's the thing. I think in Far Cry 5, you're going to be playing the mercenaries, like the sniper, or you play as the dog, or you play as the guy in the plane. I think that's what's going on there, in which you're actually playing one of the mercenaries who helps the main character. So from a story point point of view, it makes sense.
Yeah, but maybe I'm just spoiled to what other systems have done. But how hard would it have been to be like something where like you take a currency of some kind back to your own game for helping somebody else out?
Yeah, but, you know, maybe you just want to help the other person because you want to have fun.
No.
No fun allowed, damn it.
If I'm going to help someone else have fun, I better get rewarded to it.
You're rewarded by the emergent gameplay.
That's not enough.
Guess what? This is the way it used to be. You didn't, you know, when you play a co-op game, well, here's the thing, it's not inherently a co-op game in the first place. I think it's sort of like a nod to co-op, allow other people to help you out, you know? But here's the thing, I'll gladly trade off getting experience if I get to play as a dog.
I don't know. I just think it wouldn't be so hard to, like, give me money or something to take back to my game. Something that I can, like, use in my game for helping somebody else out.
How about using emotional blackmail, saying, well, I helped out your game, so isn't it time you came to my thing and helped me out now? I mean, that's the best part. Of course, if you're not in local co-op, you can't punch them in the shoulder for them not helping you.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Destiny 2 is getting rid of random perk rolls for loot, and the response is divided. And this comes to us from GamesRadar, otherwise known as PC Gamer Magazine. Destiny 2 will loosen the sometimes kind but usually cruel grip of random loot tables. Game director Luke Smith revealed in an interview with Mashable that all of Destiny 2's weapons and armor will have set selections of perks and stats. We'll never again need to compare three of the same items side by side to see which is the best compared to its quote-unquote optimal incarnation. In other words, a gun is a gun is a gun. It isn't a total 180. Some items in the original Destiny had set attributes, but others would draw a number of their playable shaping perks from a pool of possibilities. For example, a player may stick with the Dusk rendered Type Zero helmet back in the Taken King because it had a better already perk, which kickstarts shield generation whenever grabbing an orb of light. The same helmet with a different perk in that slot would have been nothing special for a tank like Titan. Some players in Destiny's Reddit community were encouraged by the change, with the attitude, content over grind any day, while others had some concern, stating it would quote-unquote kill replayability. Smith added that having items be more static will make power balancing substantially easier. Quote, how many of my 2nd, 3rd, and 10th better devils hand cannon be interesting? That's a question we should be asking and answering as soon as we can, he said. We have ideas, and while I'd like nothing more than to have to share those ideas with you, we're up against a deadline. I don't know if they'll make our September 6th release date, but we have some ideas that we're pretty excited about. So basically what they're saying is that if you get this a gun A, it's going to be the same stats no matter where you see it. You know, it might have a different perk, which is where it gets its different, but a lot of people are saying, well, what if, you know, that kills the idea of grinding so that we can find it with better stats on it, you know, and other people say, fine, remove the grind. We'd rather deal with content, you know.
I mean, if the alternative is more weapons, more variety, more things, then that is a good thing. Anything that would take away, like, yeah, the best part of Destiny is grinding. Get the fuck out.
Okay, to be honest, the best part of the Diablo games was grinding.
I don't know, maybe I disagree.
I found that boring. In fact, how you're talking about somebody getting you to the end of the game in an hour, that's kind of what happened in Diablo 2. They took me to Diablo and they killed him, and then they took me to the Cal level, and I was just like, people sit here on the Cal level for hours. It just seems boring. No thank you.
On the other hand, when you do complete Diablo 2, you get to play it again on a harder level.
I remember when I first was playing Destiny, and the first... I don't know if you guys remember the loot cave, which was a glitch in the game where you could sit in front of this cave, enemies would spawn out of it, and you could mow them down as they came running out every about 15 seconds or so.
It's called EverQuest in its first few years.
And, people use that as a means to grind weapons and gear and all sorts of other stuff and experience. And I was just sitting there watching this, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's nifty that I'm getting all sorts of weapons, but at the same time, I want to play something fun.
I felt the same way about Borderlands. I'm trying to figure out, when does Borderlands become fun?
And Borderlands 2.
It's so hard to make a grindy shooting game, you know. For something like Diablo, it's easier. You know, for something like even World of Warcraft, it's easier. For something like Destiny, because here's the thing. When you're playing a straight-up RPG, yeah, you expect die rolls. You do not expect die rolls in a shooter. You're aiming at something and firing. It should not, you know, what happens should not determine on a die roll. It should determine on your skill. And that's always been the bugaboo of shooters, is that you have a gun, you can have more powerful guns, but you if you include die rolls, then it just becomes, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item, and this one is probably the one that Scott's going to have a lot of opinions about. Go ahead, TJ.
Nintendo Switch Virtual Console will be the only way you can play certain Super Mario games. From Express UK. Legendary Nintendo designer Shigeru Miyamoto told IGN that the company had no intention of remaking classic Super Mario releases for the Nintendo Switch. Instead, Nintendo would rather create new games and introduce new ideas and gameplay mechanics. Quote, I don't really feel like I want to remake any of them, he said. It's more natural to always create new mechanics and new games. This would rule out remakes of older classics like Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario World, as well as recent releases like Mario Galaxy and Super Mario Sunshine. Fans can instead expect to find these games on the Nintendo Switch Virtual Console, which is currently without a release date. Nintendo is also said to be working on bringing GameCube versions of Super Mario Sunshine, Animal Crossing, Luigi's Mansion, and Super Smash Bros. Melee to the Switch Virtual Console. It's likely to launch alongside the Nintendo Online service, which was recently delayed until next year. Nintendo said that the price of the online service would be lower than both PlayStation 4's PlayStation Plus and Xbox One's Games with Gold. Explaining the delay, Nintendo of America boss Reggie Fils-Aimé told Polygon that the service needed to be world-class before Nintendo would launch it. He also insisted that it would be worth the wait.
You know, at this point, I would insert the Bender clip of saying, oh, you were serious, and laughing even harder. Here's the thing. I don't care how much it costs. It still has to be worth it.
I want to know, is this going to be a select a portion of their library, or is this going to be the whole entire thing? Because there are some older games that I would like to play, and I don't care if they remake them or not. That's not a big deal for me. I don't know why so many games are being remade constantly, especially the newer ones. I like Mario Galaxy, I don't think needs a remake.
Here's the thing. The way the original Virtual Console went, was one from the NES, one from the Super Nintendo, and then the other one from the Nintendo 64. I'm pretty sure they're going to expand that. The problem is that, are these going to be for sale or for free?
I thought it was part of their, you pay monthly to play all of them thing, like Netflix.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen.
The way I heard it spun was that, like, it would be like PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold, where, like, one game or so would become free in a given month. And you can download it then if you're paying for the service. And I don't know what happens after that month is up.
Here's the thing, though. The online service is supposed to bring multiplayer. You know, right now you can play multiplayer for free. Once the online service pops up, that's it. You have to pay for it. And the question is, are people going to be willing to pay for that?
If they keep making games like ARMS, Splatoon 2, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I think that it'll be worth it.
I don't think so. I mean, for those games, no. Keep in mind, those games, except for ARMS, which is junk, were basically always going to be couch co-op. Except for Splatoon, which was, I know, specifically made for online, but Nintendo's never really, you know, they've always been, we're the company in which you can gather around the TV with your friends and play Super Mario Party. You know, can you imagine anybody playing that online?
No. No, I can't.
Go ahead, Scott.
What I was trying to say before is if they would release some of the older titles like Crystalis or Battle of Olympus, I would like them to maybe fix some of the graphic glitches and make sure it works well on the system. I guess that's what Reggie Fils-Aimé is saying, is that they're going to make sure that these games work and that they have hopefully a quality library to select from and not just Mario.
I will speak to one thing you said, Scott, about the whole, like, why everybody's remaking these games. Like, a game like Mario doesn't really need to be remade because Mario has been in the constant rotation for basically every few years or so.
He's already been remade in the DS games anyway.
Yeah. Mario All Stars.
Well, not only that, but they had Super Mario, what was it, Super Mario Plus or whatever it was called? I forgot remember what the title for the DS versions of these games were? They added something to it. And then it was off. Because Super Mario Bros. 4, or whatever they called it, was actually Super Mario Bros. 3. Because they had to include the lost levels as 2.
Are you talking about New Super Mario Bros.?
Yeah, that's right. The New Super Mario Bros. Games. New Super Mario Bros. 4 was actually Super Mario Bros. 3.
But even with those games, they transferred it from 2D to 3D and messed with a whole bunch of stuff with it. I'm talking about, like, a game remade in its entirety, like Crash Bandicoot, for instance. The reason why I'm okay with a game like that being remade is that nobody has seen a game about Crash Bandicoot in literal decades.
I'm okay with System Shock being remade because the controls when it first came out were shit.
Like,
fixing is definitely a thing. I can agree with.
If it's not in constant circulation with like Mario is, it could do for a remake. As for Mario, I'm glad they're moving forward with different new games.
Yeah.
Because Mario Odyssey is looking...
friggin' Mario game. It doesn't... Here's the thing. Nintendo's lied about that so much, their nose is longer than a tree trunk.
Odyssey looks
Brokeback
completely...
Mario. It's like Brokeback Mountain. You know, I can't give you up. Why can't you me give you up?
Odyssey and Mario Rabbids are at the very least looking like something that I haven't seen them do with the series before.
Yeah, one of them's turning it into Sonic Adventure, the other one's turning it into Rayman.
That is new.
I don't know. I mean, what's it called? Mario Odyssey is basically 3D Sonic Adventure, just with Mario in it. It's not even hiding that.
I don't see how it looks. I looked that up, and I don't see how you're seeing the similarity there.
You know? Mario
it's cause, it's because they put Mario in a city, and everybody lost their shit. But I think
also, the Mario... All the moves that Sonic does, he does now.
No, Sonic could never throw his head onto an enemy and
that's
become
that
enemy.
No, but that's what he did to other characters, to Dr. Eggman. So, anyways, regardless, they're not going to stop doing Mario games.
They never said they were going to stop.
Well, it seemed like that when they did Super Mario Level Maker, or Super Mario Maker.
I don't know why you thought that.
Well, it's a cash cow. They got to milk it. They got to keep milking it. Put another lunch pail with Mario on the side of it.
I mean, as long as they keep changing it up and doing interesting things, why not?
Yeah. Galaxy was different. You're flying through space. That was really cool.
Microsoft should bring back Blinks. if Crash Bandicoot's coming back, then Blinks should come back.
You better watch out. You're going to get a Bubsy.
Oh, Blinks and Bubsy the Bobcat. Yeah.
I like Bubsy, damn it.
Blinks wasn't bad either. Blinks was a good game. And you know what character that Microsoft did bring back? And remastered him, and it's a pity he never came. He never became a thing. It was Voodoo Vince? No, I'm serious. They have a remastered version of that game, and you should try the game. It's really good. It's Windows 10, Xbox, anywhere.
Oh yeah, that was on the original Xbox. You're gonna be able to play that with the Xbox One S now.
The funny thing is, they've only officially announced Crimson Skies. But like I said, everything that was backwards compatible on the 360 is going to be on it.
Yeah. But I keep telling people, you keep asking for old games, you get a Bubsy. That's just the way it is.
You know what a game I really want to play again? Mech Commander. You know the old original Xbox mech game? That was actually pretty fun. It was one of the first online games for the Xbox.
I remember Mech Assault.
Yeah, Mech Assault, whatever. That was fun.
That was fun.
You know what? Anytime you have robots shooting at each other, it's always fun. Like robot jocks. Jeez, neither of you have ever heard of robot jocks?
No.
Look it up. Robot jocks, J-O-X. It was a movie about people fighting with robots, with gigantic robots. It was a B-movie, too. The visual effects are wonderfully cheesy.
That's God, I'm looking at the box art, and it looks like, yeah.
It's really great, though. There's some great world building in it. Like, there's one single hot dog in a pot, and they say, oh my god, it's a feast! We're actually having meat today? And there's all these pregnancy propaganda posters. You know, one woman's pregnant, she says, she's doing her part. You know, it's doing all this backstory of what happened to the world. But yeah.
Oh my god, listen to the burner tag on this, Scott. Two men, two machines, too wild.
Yeah, wars were outlawed, and now you fight. They're fighting, Russia and America are fighting robot war, two robot gladiators over Alaska. Whoever wins gets Alaska.
We already have Alaska.
No, but if Russia wins, they get Alaska.
Okay.
Well, I don't want the Russians to have Alaska, so yeah, we have to fight them.
America, go all watch this movie.
All that wilderness. He's a coward because he allowed people to try to protect people from being killed.
I don't even know what's in Alaska, but I know I don't want Russia to have it.
But anyways, yeah, so check out that movie. I'm willing to bet you it's on YouTube, probably. It's an old B-movie. It actually had a sequel called Robot Wars, but... It's one of the classic 80s B-movies. You have to watch it now. That's your assignment. Everybody who's listening to this podcast, go watch Robot Jocks with an X. And then if you really want, if you want something creepy, watch Xtro. XTRO. That's one weird screwed up movie. Right up there with Dead Alive and what was the other really bad, what was the name of that? No, it was Dead Alive. That was the name of, Peter Jackson's first horror film.
Yes.
And also Reanimator. Oh, go watch Society, 1989. That'll screw you up. Good. Anyways, getting back to video games, we're still doing the Sims 4 contest. Like I said, a copy of the game and bunch of swag. And you know, I have extra t-shirts I might stuff in that.
Yeah, I've seen some of the stuff. It's good. It's I was with Jonah when we were putting this together, and it's a pretty good package.
I also forgot to send Scott his little gift. We're not going to say what it is. I haven't had a chance to send it, though.
I'm looking forward to it.
So, the question of the week is, what game are you looking forward to in the next few months? Let's start with you, Scott. What are you really looking forward to in the next few months that's coming out?
Let's see. It's coming out in the next few months. I'm not sure. It's coming out, but there's definitely games I'm looking forward to.
Okay, how about you, TJ?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Minecraft Story Mode 2. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Is that coming out this year?
I think so.
So let me ask you a question. How did episode 9 end? Was it episode 9 or episode 8? It was episode 8, right?
Yeah, I think it was episode 8. basically, you ended your last little adventure. You got home, and Ivan decided to go off, and he's like, I'm going to go exploring, because the other guys were like, let's relax for a little while. And he's like, I'm not done adventuring. I'm going to go out and adventure some more. And they're like, you know, you have the choice. You can either sit there and just let him go, or you're like, let's go after him. So it's kind of like a little cliffhanger.
How about you, TJ?
Vampire, easily. Vampire is still slated for release in 2017, as far as I know. We haven't gotten an official date yet, but the build that we were looking at E3 looked like it was well on its way. That game, the social construct in it, the choices you make. You're a doctor that's also a vampire in 1918, which is in London and in Europe at the time. It was post-World War One, and they were fighting off the Spanish flu. So you're a doctor that's there to save people's lives, but you're also a vampire that needs to feast on blood to survive.
Before and, you're in a hospital with a blood bank, I hope.
Yeah. And it's coming out of Don't Nod, which are the people that did Life is Strange. And it is, God, every time I see it, every time I learn something new about it, I want it so bad. It's probably one of the very few games that I'm legitimately and wholeheartedly excited about this year.
For me, that game is Shadow of War. I keep on seeing stuff about it, and it says, okay, stop. You can just stop selling me on it. I want to play it now, but it's coming out in October. I mean, if it does 75% of what it promises, Middle-Earth Shadow of War of Shadow it promises to be something special.
Yeah. The I remember like what I saw of it during E3 was pretty fun looking time. Although the Cockney orcs Bruce? Were a bit much.
I like Bruce. Everybody loves Bruce.
Wisecracking orcs are a bit of a stretch too far for me.
Well, what about when he does the bottle popping noise when he says he wants to take off some heads?
Yeah.
come on, it's cute. I mean, what's it called? He's also smarter than he looks because he says, Dark Lord, Bright Lord, same thing, really. And he's actually right. Because anybody who knows anything about Tolkienian lore is that to wield a ring of power is going to corrupt you and you just become another Sauron.
Yeah.
And here's my guess for the ending of that game is that Talion takes the ring and he does a swan dive into Mount Doom with it. Because Sir Celebrimbor is actually the bad guy as well. I mean, it actually, you know, the Bright Lord DLC for the first game actually out and out says it. This is not a good person. This is a villain. You know, so it'll be interesting to see how far they go with it. But they just had another. It's not a Let's Play. It's a developer thing, and they showed off a new character. Well, I will not mention because it's spoilerific. You know, it's minor spoilers. You don't really know much. Actually, the funny thing is that even the developers don't know much about this new character. They speculate about her, and she was created by them. So it sounds like they want to leave a little mystery box there with her. And really, it doesn't really matter where she came from or who she is. It's mostly about what she does. But yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating to have all this information and still know that it's 1, 2, 3 months away. It's torture.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Vampire. Like, and I get it, because every time I see that the Moira series, they're doing awesome things with it, I'll say that much.
Now, the thing about Vampire is, or Vampyr, if you want to do it with the Nosferatu pronunciation, is that I actually preferred Call of Cthulhu over Vampyr. That one is a little bit more of a, you know, I really like a detective game. And the fact that it's in the Cthulhu mythos just makes it that much better. And by the way, Scott, I think Call of Cthulhu might be the sort of game you'd like to play. It's less combat heavy and more you being a detective and talking.
I do like that. Yeah.
And like I said, there are multiple routes you can take to everything, just like Mass Effect.
That's always good.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. The TJ calls the Vampyr the Witcher with vampires.
Well, the other thing about Vampyr is that, so I had an interview with the lead level designer.
Let me ask you a question before you move on. Did you do the interview with the lead level designer of Rainbow Six Siege?
I have not set that up yet. It's something forthcoming.
Okay.
But When I sat down to talk to this guy, he made it very clear to me that you can go through Vampyr without killing anyone. Or you can go through and kill everyone. Every single person.
Sort of like Deus Ex.
And, like, the level of choice and the consequences they have are something that it's extremely exciting to me for what it is. Like, yes, there's going to be combat, but on some level, it's not about that. It's about the interaction, which is what Don't Nod is fantastic at.
No, they didn't do Soma, did they? No, that was someone else.
No.
Oh no, that was done by the guys who did the thing with pigs. I forgot the name.
It was Insomnia.
Right, they're the ones who did Insomnia and the Insomnia titles. So, by the way, Scott, are you interested in Ni No Kuni 2, which is coming out this year?
Yes. Yeah, the battle mechanics look better, entertaining, and I think I like the characters, so that's always like a critical point there. And I enjoyed the art and the music, and that looks, you know, consistent from the previous game, so this will be very interesting. I have a feeling, another story aspect of the first game was you were playing between parallel worlds. This time it looks like you might just be focusing on the main fantasy world and not the real world.
By the way, I know that on 1A for TJ is Dragon Ball Z Fighters. And by the way, there's a little more information coming out about that game, in that they're saying that it is a lot more fast and brutal than you think it is from just playing the demo.
I don't know. I played the demo and it seemed pretty dang fast already.
Not only fast, but it's also very aggressive. Let me put it that way.
Oh yeah. That's Arc System Works MMO. It's all about like just moving at a frenetic pace. Like that's what I love about them, and that's where after you play an Arc System Works game and you've got a feel for it and you go back to something like a Street Fighter, things feel so sluggish.
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like people talking about Treasure Games and Bullet Hell Shooters.
Yeah, I mean, it literally is.
Once you play Ikaruga, that's it. You can't play any other vertical scrolling shooters anymore.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And, well, let me ask you a question. Were you a DBZ fan? Or are you a DBZ
fan? I was. I was. I went through a lot of my, like, while I was in grade school and high school, I was watching that series every day after I came home.
Okay, so you know something about the characters, which I guess helps for that. Obviously, it helps for that game.
Yeah.
Do you already have a line on what character you most want to try?
I mean, we only know about 7 of the characters yet. So far, they've just mentioned, like, I mean, I don't know if the names will matter to you, but, like, Goku, Vegeta, Gohan, and then you got Boo, Cell, and Frieza, and Trunks.
But here's
and
the those, thing. Just like in, you know, in Injustice 2, there are characters you didn't, oh, I'm going to be playing as him? Like, who knew they were going to be playing a Swamp Thing? Or Dr. Fate? Are there any unexpected characters you're expecting from, well, kind of expecting from DBZ Fighters?
Yajirobe and Korin. Yajirobe is a fat samurai who is really good at running away and is scared of everything. And Korin is a floating cat. So,
well, there is one of the characters seemed like a big fat floating thing in the demo.
Well, that's Boo. Probably he's a big fat pink elastic ball of goo. but like, I think if I was gonna, I'm a troll when it comes to this stuff. So of course I'm gonna say like characters that would probably have zero chance of making it in, but I would laugh if they did. Yajirobe, Korin, and maybe Raditz, because he's like, Raditz is the guy that they kill first in the Dragon Ball Z series. He's the weakest villain of all of them, and I love the idea of maybe taking that character and just beating the crap out of people online with him.
By the way, do you know what Arc System Works' first game was?
Let me see. Actually,
look it up. Don't wait. Don't cheat.
I thought it was Guilty Gear, but maybe
no,
not.
The very first game was doing the port for the Sega Master System of Double Dragon.
Actually, I'll go back even further than that. The first fighting game that Daisuke Shibutani worked on was at SNK. It was The Last Blade.
Yeah, but you know, SNK and fighting games, you know, nothing makes you want to punch an arcade or video game, console game in the face more than SNK fighting game.
Why is that?
Because they're bosses. This is not a secret. You know you were making me want to admit it.
Yeah, they have the most ridiculous bosses out there. That said, they also have some of the most spectacular art in their games, and I think they were ahead of Capcom by miles before.
Him from SNK is the reason why he was able to make Battletoads and no one would blink at it. Arc System Works made Battletoads. Yeah, that's an easy game, right?
SNK is also the one that made Crystalis. I always thought that was a really good game.
It isn't that it's good or bad. It's that the SNK... Here's the thing. SNK bosses are a trope in which they are really, really, really unfair. Oh, look, you got 3/4 of your health taken out with one hit.
Yeah, and that would carry on to Guilty Gear. Like, and the first and second and third Guilty Gear, each of the bosses has a screen-filling super attack that if it hits you or you try to block it, it will chip damage you to death or just kill you outright. You just have to get good, Scrub.
I did get good. You know, I played Dead or Alive, and I was able to beat both of those bosses, especially the one that was made of the girl who was made of pink green goo. The green goo girl was the worst. I hated her, but at least I defeated her. Anyways, you know what? So like I said, if you want to win some The Sims 4 swag, including the actual game itself. Go to gamingpodcast.net and make a comment in the comment section. Don't worry if it doesn't appear immediately because it has a moderation thing. So if it's the first time you're posting, it'll say waiting to be moderated. Don't worry, you're still in the contest. So yeah, we will see you next week. By the way, look for our show at gamingpodcast.net. Along with industry news and our gaming history articles, we enjoy feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, and leave us some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon.
I am at Johnny Chugs.
And I am at Alpha Shard.
And we will see you next week, and hopefully there'll be a little more exciting news.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Take care, y'all.